Blog Talk Radio.
What the heck is going on, Big 12 Nation? What a weekend. What a weekend to talk about. Last night was one of the most exciting games I've seen in a while. Honestly, it's one of the most exciting games I have seen since USC played Texas for the national championship exactly a decade ago. How crazy is that? So, I mean, we got a lot to say about it. Charlie Strong has the monkey off his back for a while there. I definitely think his players love him, being how they lifted him up and, you know, just showed tremendous support for him. That was a fun game to watch. And I know some of you guys probably saw me on the Facebook page going crazy, questioning some of the calls. But I was just upset. I think that they were running the ball more when they were down versus when they were up. They were passing it, being aggressive. I honestly think they go in and they keep passing and they keep being aggressive. They easily win that team, you know, or blow that team out, however you want to say it. There were some drop passes, too, along the way that kind of frustrated me, because if you look at it, that score could have easily been 38-21 at some point. I mean, Texas is their offense is very well improved. You have to give credit for Charlie Strong for making the right hire in offense. Last year, they got blown out 38-3. They had a guy with a big head, Sean Watson. He wanted to do the stuff the way he wanted to do. A lot of play action pass, pro style stuff, young team, and they simply weren't getting it done. So this year, it's like they recruited the right quarterback, Tyrone Swoops. He understands his role. And how amazing was that for Tyrone Swoops to, you know, in his senior season, knowing he wasn't going to be the starter, for them to have a package for him to step up and actually win the game for the guys, get the interview at the end of the game. It was good, man. I felt good for the conference this weekend. I mean, we got some things to talk about, but we'll come back in 1 second and we'll get. All right, guys. We are back, and what a great weekend for college football. Just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. And what I want to do is take another quick break, and I got to get some stuff set up, and we'll keep going. Sorry so much about that, guys. Just, you know how that goes when you decide to do a podcast. Everybody wants to bother you with other things and other silly stupidity. But when you're just sitting there next to people and you have nothing going on, nobody calls, nobody texts, nobody wants anything to do with you until you decide to do your favorite thing, and that's talk about college football and the Big 12 Conference. So last night, Swoops got in the end zone. I think they had some great packages available for both quarterbacks. And before I keep rambling on, I want everybody to know the calling number is 929-477-3885 if you want to chime in and talk some Big 12 Nation, especially since it's opening weekend. And, you know, we got so many things to go over. Kansas State lost, the no call by the referees. That's one of the things that's been irritating me, too. It's like some things they call, like, automatically, and then there's some things that they're just, like, laid back about. Like, depending on the team, you can get tackled, and it'll be a no pass interference call, and a guy will lead with his shoulder, not his helmet, and he'll get ejected for targeting. And it's really weird because when you look at it, you can tell the kids are not trying to target. Like before, you know, about 10 years ago, they would really be trying to knock their head off. Now you see that kids are actually like putting their shoulder first and they're still getting ejected. It's kind of really unfair. So let's go over last night's game. They came out right away. It was 7-7. Texas's defense is okay, but there is number nine, their defensive back, Vance Befford, needs to definitely pull him to the side and teach him how to turn around and be a little more alert. And that's the one touchdown that drove me crazy was when Deshaun Kizer ran one way and then he threw the other way. To me, it didn't make sense for the defender to leave his receiver because there was only one thing Deshaun Kizer could do. If he passed the line of scrimmage, he had to go. If he hasn't passed the line of scrimmage, you don't go past him. You don't go nowhere near him. The frustrating part about it is all he had to do was stay with his man, like Pee-wee Ball. Just man him, that's your man. And he ran over towards the middle as if he thought he was throwing it to the middle, and he left the guy wide open in the corner of the end zone. It was no need for him to run to the middle because there's already like six guys in zone coverage that are already in that area. He wasn't going to be able to make a play on that ball anyway. The only play he could have helped with is if Kizer left the line of scrimmage. And if Kizer leaves the line of scrimmage, you know, he can't throw that pass. So he should stay with him until Kizer for sure passes that line of scrimmage. Understand what the line of scrimmage is and understand where it's at. Now, I know it's hard for defenders nowadays. They make some crybaby calls for us nowadays, and it's very hard to be a defensive coach and a defensive player because everything's a targeting. You can't do so many things pass interference-wise. It's a really offensive game. And it turned out 50-47. It was an amazing game. So hats off to Charlie Strong. Great hired offensive coordinator. Texas will be a force to be reckoned with. They definitely should, I'm not going to say will, should get to a bowl game. But we got nine other teams we need to talk about. So I'll talk about the cupcake wins first. Baylor blew out Northwestern State, which they were supposed to blow them out. There was nothing big there. I believe it was 48-0 at halftime, and it was just a rout by Baylor. I think Grove is really there to just let Kendall Browse and Mr. Bennett do what they've been doing there for years. So congrats to Baylor for getting the win out, and everything's looking good on the up and up for them. And I believe they have one more cupcake team this upcoming week before they get into a serious situation. Quick stats, Russell was 14 of 20, 163 yards, four touchdowns. I think he did all that in the first half. Linwood, 9 carries, 97 yards, no touchdowns. I mean, that's almost 10 yards a carry. So it was what we expected Baylor to do to a team that is there to pick up a paycheck to help with their small school football budget. Now, Friday night, Kansas State, as you saw, I posted on the blog, Kansas State was competitive. They tried to make a comeback. They were within one touchdown with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They could have been within more if they would have called the actual penalty on the guy who the penalty should have been called on, who tackled the K-State receiver in the end zone. But as I said a few minutes ago, I just don't understand how some of the officiators call targeting so quick, but they don't call other penalties as quick. I don't know if it's a rule of emphasis. It's really getting hard for defenses now, and it's sad that it's to a point in life where defenses can't shut anybody out unless it's Alabama. And the only reason Alabama can shut people out or hold them to 6 points like they did to USC is because they got a bunch of animals running around that are fast as lightning and hit fast as I don't know what, that it's impossible for the quarterback to throw the ball. And by the time he throws the ball, the receiver's either getting his head knocked off or the pass is getting bad. So when you got a bunch of freakish athletes like Alabama has, then, yeah, you can shut people out and you can do certain things like that. But other than that, people who just have 3- and 4-star recruits, they actually have to scheme, and it's really hard to play tough defense now because of the way things are set up. It's not like back in the day, I'm going to run right at you or I'm going to go one-on-one. If my DB's better, like Charles Woodson, he's just better. So we will see. Now, to finish on that, I mean, Bill Snyder did a good job. It's I mean, they lost 13-26. It was 13-19, and they could have easily tied it. It is what it is. Next week, the K-State Wildcats have FAU at home. Florida Atlantic will catch people off guard, so don't be surprised. But they have Florida Atlantic University. They should be able to run the ball right down their throat, play good defense. Then after that, they have Missouri State. They should be able to run the ball right down their throat, have good defense. And they're at West Virginia after that, Texas Tech at home. So then the Big 12 schedule starts. So congrats to K-State for a good fight with a top 10-ranked Stanford team. I'm really proud of the effort they gave because I don't think most people even thought they were going to hang with them, which is why we love Bill Snyder so much. Now, to the upset of the day, Houston 33, Oklahoma 23. So most of us who are college football heads, this wasn't a shock. Everybody knew Houston had been on a ridiculous winning streak. They just beat Florida State in a bowl game pretty bad last year. They also are one of the teams that are trying to get into the Big 12, but quote-unquote ESPN and Fox Sports 1 is claiming that the Big 12 is watering down the competition. I think that pretty much shut up that argument pretty quick. They have a hell of a coach in Tom Herman, who was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State when Ohio State won the national title and kicked Alabama's butt. So let's just be honest here that, you know, Houston's a solid team and they would do just fine in the Big 12. And I'm glad they had that showing. So for people who think it's going to water the conference down, I actually think they're going to bring some credibility to the conference and make the conference better. On top of that, now we have another Texas school in the conference, and that makes the radius very good. As far as traveling, the farthest trip would be West Virginia, and if Cincinnati gets in, that'd be even better because Cincinnati and West Virginia are almost in the same region. They're about 3 or 4 hours from each other. So we could have a Big 12 North where we have a Cincinnati, a West Virginia, a Kansas State, a Iowa State, and one of the Oklahoma schools, and then we could have a Big 12 South where we have Texas, Texas Tech, Houston, Baylor, TCU, et cetera. You guys know where I'm going with it. But as off to Houston, I mean, that quarterback, Ward Jr., whatever his name is very good. He definitely showed up Oklahoma's QB, who everybody said was supposed to be, you know, the main deal. And it's actually funny to me. I think his name is Baker Mayfield. It's actually funny to me because him and P. Ryan, who I thought would be animals this year, they got dominated. I mean, that Houston defense came up and smacked P. Ryan a couple times, and he didn't want any more. There was a couple times he's just rubbing his shoulder. He didn't want any more problems with the Houston Cougars. So if Houston goes undefeated, we'll see if they get in the college football playoff. ESPN and Fox Sports 1 might not let them get in because they want to keep claiming this watered-down competition. But we've already seen what they've done to Florida State, who won a national championship. We've seen what they did to Oklahoma, who was in the college football playoff last year. They're just a good team. Just like a couple of years ago when everybody was worried about talking about Boise State, it was just a damn good team. And I think Houston is that, and they're going to be even better being that they have Texas ties. Them being Houston, how many kids do you think from Houston are now you're going to leave the city or the Houston area because they know they can be at home and play in front of their parents? No problem. Some kids still want to get away from home and just to, you know, get away from home and have some freedom and maybe go to A&M, maybe go to Texas, Baylor, TCU, Tech. There's always going to be, you know, it's Texas football, high school football. It's amazing. So those schools are always going to have kids to recruit. But just imagine how many more Houston kids who really don't want to leave home are just going to stay at home and play right in front of their families. And their families ain't got to do but a 10, 20-minute drive to go see their kids play rather than an hour or two-hour drive, so, or even a four-hour drive in that matter. Next game, West Virginia-Mizzou. This game looked like West Virginia was going to roast them from the first quarter. They came out blazing, hitting them on defense. Missouri's got a new head coach. I don't think he's ready for the level of competition yet. Gary Pinkel knew what it was like. So it was old Big 12 versus new Big 12. New Big 12 prevailed. Skylar Howard, you know, was 23 of 36, 253 yards. Justin Crawford was 21 carries and got 101 yards, had one touchdown. His longest run was 29 yards. They racked up, you know, I want to say over 400 yards of offense. So it was a good showing for West Virginia. They got some field goals. They got some kicks. I mean, they started off the game easily up, you know, 10-0 on the guys. And I don't think Missouri ever recovered. Missouri just didn't seem like, honestly, guys, they didn't seem like they had any enthusiasm or any energy like they used to. It was just kind of like they were going through the motions. They didn't seem excited about anything, or it was kind of corny, actually. It was. I mean, I'm happy for West Virginia in the Big 12, but it was like, okay, like, it was not like a big deal to Missouri to be playing a game, it didn't seem like to me. So, hats off to West Virginia, Dana Holgorsen, making the conference look good against the SEC opponent, kind of like what Texas did to Notre Dame last night. Congrats on that. And their next game is home versus Youngstown State, and then they play BYU. BYU will be one hell of a game. I just saw BYU beat Arizona at Arizona. So be ready for that big old – y'all remember what they did to Texas a couple years ago, and that same quarterback in Charlie Strong's first year at Texas, that same quarterback is back at BYU because he got a medical red shirt. He is very, very, very hard to tackle. And I'm just going to say that. So West Virginia will have their hands full with BYU. It's a nice little tough out-of-conference schedule for West Virginia. I'm actually proud of them for that. Now, let's go back to more blowouts and more glorified scrimmages. As you know, Oklahoma State played a glorified scrimmage against Southeastern Louisiana, 61-7, my goodness. It was 31-7 at halftime, and they didn't score at all in the second half. And by the end of the third quarter, it was 51-7. So, whatever. Actually, 52-7 at the end of the third quarter. So, those offensive numbers, I don't think I really need to read them, but I'll go over them real quick. Rudolph was 18 of 26. 188 yards, two touchdowns. Carr was 6 for 42 yards, one touchdown. Cornelius, 6 of 20, rushed for six times, got 28 yards, one touchdown. It looks like they just pretty much ran the ball second half after they got their passing touchdowns in to make sure that everybody kept their numbers up. So it is what it is, guys. It was a win for Oklahoma State, and congrats to Coach Gundy. I'm a man. I'm 40. So congratulations to my man, Coach Gundy. Heck of a football coach. Now let's go. We're going to jump to the two schools that have the youngest coaches. But first, let me go over Oklahoma State's next 2 weeks. Next 2 weeks, OK State has Central Michigan at home. And then they got Pittsburgh at home. And then they're at Baylor for their first Big 12 test. So these first three games, Oklahoma State should come out 3-0. And I see them getting three wins in Big 12 play. So they should be bowl eligible. The question is, will they compete for the playoff now that Oklahoma Sooners have already lost? So we will see. And let's go while we're right here and see. Oh, no, they're at Oklahoma. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that one out. Oklahoma usually needs to get punched in the mouth first, and then they find ways to win. Just like last year, Texas beat them, and then after that they roll. Okay, guys, now let's talk about the Kansas Jayhawks, our favorite Big 12 team. The Kansas Jayhawks did not lose to an FCS team this time. They actually rolled. They did the opposite of what I call it. I thought Iowa State would be the one to roll, and Kansas would have the rough time. So hats off and congratulations to Coach Beatty for rolling Rhode Island. I don't care what anybody says. If Kansas Jayhawks win a game, it's amazing. They were 0-4 last year. It was pretty bad, pretty embarrassing. They were losing to everybody. They were losing to Left Foot State and Right Neck State and everybody else on the planet Earth and getting just rolled. So let's go over some of their stats real quick. Cozart was 18 of 25, 199 yards, three touchdowns. Ryan Willis got in the game. He was 7-9, 144 yards, 2 touchdowns. And even Carter Stanley got in, and he threw 4 touchdowns. Kenner Rev got 7 attempts for 69 yards and 1 touchdown, 20 was his longest. And then Taylor Martin had 6 attempts on 33 yards and a touchdown. And they racked up a nice amount of offense. It was well over 300 yards of total offense. Looks like more than 400 yards of total offense. So, congratulations, Kansas Jayhawks. You guys won a game, and I'm not being a jackass. I'm really happy that you guys won a game, and I'm really happy for David Betty that you guys won a game. Now, let's jump over to Iowa State. What the hell is going on? Matt Campbell, I thought, was going to come out the gate, light the fire up, and you guys lose at home to Iowa State 25-20. I mean, what the hell is going on here? Now, don't get it twisted. Iowa State is an FCS program like North Dakota State where they're very good. A lot of their players transfer down from FBS because they don't want to sit out a year with the transfer rules. So they have some players over in Northern Iowa, but I did not see Iowa State coming out and losing this game at home. So it looks like they're up 7-0 in the first quarter. Then Northern Iowa took the lead in the second quarter, and they were up 16-13. So they were losing at the half 16-13. Then in the third quarter, it was 19-13, and then it looks like Northern Iowa kicked 2 field goals in the fourth quarter, and they went up, and then Iowa State scored 1 touchdown in the fourth quarter. So it looks like the biggest problem there was Iowa State not scoring at all in the third quarter. That really hurt them. But I'm sure Matt Campbell's embarrassed. I'm pretty sure he did not want to lose his debut at home versus Iowa State. Versus Northern Iowa, and he is coaching at Iowa State. Joel Lanning, let's go over his stats. Looked pretty good, 18 of 28, 256 yards, 3 touchdowns. The rushing attack does not look good, 12 for 29 for Mike Warren, and his longest run was 12 yards. That rushing does not look – I don't even think they averaged 3 yards per carry. You got at least – average 4 yards per carry if you want to be half decent in any college school. So that, it looks like they need to get that rushing game together at Iowa State. And congrats to Northern Iowa. They embarrassed Iowa State. And I hope Matt Campbell recovers from this and does well. Real quick, TCU struggled with South Dakota State in the first half, but then Kenny Hill rallied the troops and they found a way to go. I don't know why everybody was talking quarterback controversy. I think most of us knew Kenny Hill would lead TCU, but TCU's defense definitely needs some work. They're not going to be able to win no games with that type of situation. I guarantee you that with the Big 12 being that Texas has explosive offense now, Texas Tech has an explosive offense, Oklahoma has an explosive offense, Oklahoma State has an explosive offense, West Virginia has an explosive offense. They're going to have to fix that offense really quick at TCU, or they're going to end up with only 6-7 wins this year, because I guarantee you they're going to have a lot more tests than South Dakota State. Either that or the players were not taking them seriously, and it was an eye-opener that they need to get on it. So let's go over Kenny Hill's stats. The transfer from Texas A&M, he was 33 of 49 in his first game with the Horned Frogs. And he passed for 439 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I don't like those 2 interceptions against a team like South Dakota State, but those interceptions could have been miscommunication between him and the receivers. Hicks was 15 for 59, and he had 2 touchdowns, so he had 15 attempts. And, you know, that's solid. That's close enough to 4 yards per carry. Kenny Hill rushed 7 times for 45 yards. And he scored 3 touchdowns. So altogether, Kenny Hill was accounted for 5 touchdowns. So he's obviously going to bring life to that offense, but defense needs to wake up. He hooked up with T. Williams for a touchdown. T. Williams is 11 for 158, so that's pretty good receiving average. And then Jay Austin caught 2 passes for 64 yards and a touchdown. So we'll see what happens. Kenny Hill rolled pretty good at Texas A&M when he was under summons, so I'm pretty sure they'll get something going there at TCU, but that defense has to be fixed, because we all have to understand that offense in the Big 12 right now is what wins. These high school coaches in Texas and the other states and Big 12 areas, all they do is pass, pass, pass. It's not like back in the day or like the Big 10 where, you know, most of the kids are in running and formations and tough defense. These kids nowadays, they are pass, 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 and there's 200, 300 snaps a game, especially in high school. So we have to get those things together, TCU, and hopefully we'll have a contender in you guys. Now, let's shoot on back over. Let's finish this Big 12 Nation episode up, week one. I can't believe it went by that quick, but it's here already. Texas Tech just emulsified Stephen F. Austin, 69-17. It was 21-0 in the first quarter. I changed the channel. It was just no point even looking at it. We all knew that was going to happen, but you always have to just take a glimpse, being that you know love the whole conference, but they steamrolled them in 5 seconds. It wasn't even fun. I'll read you guys Patrick Mahomes' stats, and that should be good enough. I'm not even going to read you the rushing stats. Mahomes was 30 of 43, 483 yards, 4 touchdowns, 59 being his long, no interceptions. Do I need to say anything else? The tailback, actually, I'll say this again. The tailback had 5 carries for 28 yards. Patrick Mahomes had 10 carries for 57 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. So the guy himself accounted for 6 touchdowns. Ridiculous. Congrats to Texas Tech on their glorified scrimmage blowout. Absolutely hilarious. But now comes their real test, because they will be walking into the heat next week at Arizona State. Sun Devils will be waiting for them. That is a 10 p.m. Eastern kickoff, so it's a 9 p.m. Central Big 12 Nation kickoff. We'll see what Jay Norvell, Texas's old play caller from last year, has ready for Texas Tech. Now the Texas Tech has to walk into the Valley of the Sun in Arizona and take on Arizona State. I see that game being something similar to what we saw last night with Notre Dame versus Texas. That is going to be one hell of a game. That's the game that everybody in Big 12 Nation probably wants to watch. There is a couple on the menu, but I think the best game to watch next week will be that one. This week, we got a treat last night with Notre Dame, Texas, but the game to watch next weekend, Texas Tech taking on Arizona State. That is going to be a dandy. Texas, their next game is home versus UTEP. They should roast UTEP. I'm thinking 50-7. Vance Beckler can yell at the defense a little bit, and let's hope they get them ready to go to Cal, because Cal is going to be ready to go. They lost Jared Goff, but it's a Pac-12 team, and Sonny Dykes is going to have them ready to go. So hopefully Texas can get a win at Cal, but that is going to be a tough road test before they get into league play. Let's go over TCU next week. TCU, so here's what we got, guys. At 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, TCU will play Arkansas, and it looks like it's a home game. I'm not sure if they're meeting at Jerry's World or not, but it'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Also, right after that, 3 hours later, at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, then you have the Texas Tech-Arizona State game. So I take back what I said a little earlier. We have 2 solid out-of-conference games next weekend. Baylor plays a cupcake team. Kansas State plays a cupcake. Iowa State will play Iowa, who is their arch nemesis. Obviously, Matt Campbell really needs to compete in that game. I don't know if we'll have a chance of winning. Iowa's nasty rank. They look really daggone good. But that game will be on Big Ten Network. And I know in some Big 12 states we get it. Some Big 12 states we don't get Big Ten Network. But that game will be at 7:30 Eastern Time, so 6:30 p.m. Central. That's a big game for the state of Iowa. It's a good out-of-conference game for the Big 12, but I think the other two that I named earlier, TCU, Arkansas, and then Texas Tech, Arizona State, I think those are the eye-openers for the upcoming Week 2 schedule. Other than that, I think everybody else scheduled a home cupcake. Let's see what the Kansas Jayhawks have next week. I believe they have another home game. Yeah, they play Ohio University, which is a MAC school, so a FBS school, but a small, a non-power conference school, but it's an FBS opponent, so that'd be good. And then they go on the road at Memphis. That'd actually be tough for Kansas. But if they come out of that 3-0, hats off to Coach Beattie. That's much improved just right there, just coming out of that out-of-conference stretch, 3-0, especially since Iowa State couldn't get a win at home versus an FCS opponent, especially a FCS opponent in-state. I mean, hell, he might have lost recruits in Iowa with that loss. They'll say, I'd rather go to Northern Iowa. They can't even, you know, y'all can't beat Northern Iowa at home? Why? I'll go to Northern Iowa. Easier competition. And K-State, they have a home game versus a non-power conference. Let's check out who Oklahoma State's guys, and we out of here. Oklahoma State plays Central Michigan, so that should be a walk in the park for the Cowboys. Let's see who Oklahoma can rebound against. The good thing about Oklahoma losing the first game, though, it gives them a chance to always get back into the playoff. And then Houston has to play Cincinnati, the other team that's trying to get into the Big 12. Cincinnati's going to give Houston a problem because Houston has to go to Cincinnati. So, you know, Cincinnati's not going to let them get out of there very easily. So, all right, Oklahoma has a cupcake team next week. But in 2 weeks, September 17th, Oklahoma State will have the game of the night when they play Ohio State. Ohio State looked damn good rolling Bowling Green State 77-10. So let's remember this, guys. Ohio State, Oklahoma will change the whole college football landscape. If Oklahoma can win that game, that will easily avenge their loss to Houston and put them right back in the mix, because Ohio State looks really good, and Ohio State has to play Michigan. And they still have to play Michigan State, two top 10 schools. So hopefully Bob Stoops to get it turned around. If not, it was one hell of a week one. I had a lot of fun watching the games. Check out Florida State Ole Miss tonight, guys. Big 12 Nation. Everybody have a good one. Peace.